welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show. We were going to start a series of talks on exascale. So let's start out with power, because I know, Henry, that's something that's near and dear to your heart, something that is considered one of the major hurdles in the road to exascale.
And one of my concerns, Rich, is, you know, where are we going to host these exascale systems? I mean, we all know that we're going to need more power than we need for petascale. Now, it's not going to be 1,000 times more power, but even if it's 10 times more power to get to exascale, where can we host it? And what you've heard about today, some of the major hosting environments get a lot of their power from hydro. You've read on the front page of the paper for the last few days, you've heard about the drought throughout the whole country. How are we going to be able to accomplish this and sustain it if we do have some kind of climate change or some kind, whether it's climate change and we all agree on that or not, but if we do have some kind of long-term drought in the country?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Henry, and Rich and I are out in Oregon, which is an awful lot of hydropower, and we have a Facebook data center that's in Prineville, Oregon, which is pretty close to the middle of nowhere in the middle of the state, but reasonably close at least to Bonneville Power Dam. Google has a data center that is almost rock-throwing distance to a major dam, another major dam on the Columbia. I think that getting the power that will have the generating capacity, but getting that power at reasonable cost is probably going to be the challenge.
Well, certainly. I mean, but how much power are we talking about here, Henry? Because we have, you know, big data centers like the SuperNAP. I think I read that it's somewhere around 80 megawatts, right, in Las Vegas, of all places.
Well, 80 megawatts, I think, is going to be, you know, potentially to achieve the memory bandwidths and the communication bandwidth and the computational requirements at exascale in the early systems. I think that's going to be a drop in the bucket. I think it's going to be a lot more than 80. And, you know, what I've heard people talking about is a lot more than 80. So, but how many 80 megawatt systems can you put in Las Vegas before you run out of power at Hoover Dam? And what happens if there's another huge drought?
And looking right now, just give us a data point, the K computer is at 12.6 megawatts, which is, what is that in terms of flops, Rich?
It's 10 petaflop system, right?
So 12 megawatts for 10 petaflops.
Yeah, so if we multiply that by 100 to get to exascale, right? That's a big power bill.
126. It's about a million a megawatt per year. A little bit cheaper here in Oregon, a little bit more expensive in other places, but about a million bucks a megawatt.
But even if we get a 10 to 1, and we're now at 120 megawatts of power to do exascale versus 12 megawatts to do 10 petaflops, and we get only a factor of 10 improvement in power efficiency, how many places can afford, you know, 120 megawatt addition in this country right now?
That is a big consideration.
Right. I mean, the operational cost for that supercomputer will be staggering, right, just for the electricity, right? Because you have to cool all of that.
Yes.
My concern is that from an infrastructure point of view in the country, we are not, you know, our power grid, we're at the limit in a lot of cities of what the power grid can do. There aren't a lot of places we can put this thing. And I think part of the infrastructure of exascale, we've got to start thinking about things like the power grid, like where you can host it. We were thinking about nuclear power until we had the little incident in Japan, but we're not building any new huge power generation facilities to cover what we need in growth within the country anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think that any sort of power savings from more efficient appliances, anything like that, is going to make it up. Plus, you also have to look at the advent of other power draws like electric cars. If we were to go to electric cars, we don't have the infrastructure to handle that, much less exascale computers.
If what is said about global warming is true, when the summers are going to be longer, they're going to be hotter. I don't know about you guys, but it was 100, over 100 in Minnesota a couple times already this year. That's a little toasty for Minnesota.
Yeah, but it's still going to rain here. It's still going to rain in Canada. I don't know how big of an effect that's going to have on the power, but there could be more draw if there is actually a warming trend taking place. But either way, we don't have the generation. We don't have the delivery mechanisms either to move power on that scale.
And absolutely. And I mean, you know, they've set the target at 20 megawatts, right, for exascale by 2018, something like that, just because you had to put some kind of stake in the ground, right, because they know what operational budgets look like.
But, you know, right? 20 megawatts. So essentially it's going to be we have the K computer, which is pretty damn efficient. Last time I looked at this, it's right up there in terms of flops per watt, in terms of efficiency. It's in the top five, I believe. So it's doing 10 petaflops at 12 megawatts. So we're going to double, less than double, the megawatts and have 100 times more performance out of it?
That's the goal.
Does that sound even possible to either one of you guys?
That's why we're having this discussion, Dan.
I mean, well, we've been discussing, though, the infrastructure to support it, but I've just sort of thought about that in context, and I'm not hearing about any sort of technology on the horizon in terms of low-power chips, memory peripherals, anything like that, that
optical communication, low-power optical lasers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that come
close
to...
I'm pointing out that's, you know, all of those things are going to have to be addressed, along with all the storage issues, which we'll talk about later, that deal with things like, because you're going to need to checkpoint jobs because of resiliency issues, or do something. You're going to need to visualize the data. You're going to need to archive it. There's the whole infrastructure around it, and I think we'll get to that.
We will. We will. It's just that the sanity check right now that we're going to do a system that's 100 times faster with less than double the power just doesn't pass the sniff test for me. It's nice to have that goal in the ground, that stake in the ground.
Yes.
But I don't think it's possible.
Well, this is the reasoning behind the Fast Forward program, right? We had the series of announcements of the companies that were awarded money to do basic R&D on these exascale technologies because, yeah, the DARPA and those folks looked at the charts and where it was heading, and we weren't on the right vector to get to these goals, right?
Yeah.
So they're investing in fundamental research. That, you know. So who do we have? We have AMD, NVIDIA, I believe IBM, WAMCloud, now Intel, and a number of other companies. I don't think they've even announced all the awards yet, but it certainly...
Rich, was that DARPA or DOE? You said DARPA.
It was with DOE. Yes, it was DOE in this case.
Well, we're going to need to see some groundbreaking research come out of that in order to come even close to this.
And that groundbreaking research has to come from the research area and get to market very, very quickly.
Yes.
If they want to make the end of the decade time frame.
Well, you know, if they develop these technologies and things like mobile computing advances, that'll hopefully contribute its piece of the pie with economies of scale. Maybe we can get there, maybe not in the time that we've set, but, you know, I want to be an optimist here.
And now a word from our sponsor, Good Enough For Now Systems. Today's computers and peripherals are designed and manufactured to last forever. But is that what you really need? And are you willing to pay those outrageous prices? Sometimes you just need a system that's good enough for now. Maybe it's some servers that only need to handle a short-term need. Or maybe you need something that will cover all the bases just until you land that shiny new job at a different company. That's where Good Enough For Now Systems comes in. Gen Systems for short. They scour the world looking for systems that need new homes. Could be they were sold off in a bankruptcy sale, or they were in a data center that suffered a fire. Or it could be that some overly picky new box buyer sent them back to the manufacturer due to some perceived and probably just cosmetic little problem. Gen seeks out these hidden jewels and sells them to you at prices that simply can't be beat. So call Gen today to see what's good enough for you. Be sure to ask about their flood specials. And if you mention that you heard about Gen on Radio Free HPC, you'll get 100 feet of Cat 5 cable absolutely free. So call Gen today.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.